Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral. And it's so wonderful to be here on Empowered by the Spirit. And I am just like a little kid in a candy store. It's like Christmas morning for me because I have a friend, a priest, who has been such a big inspiration for me. The pastor at St. John the Baptist in Costa Mesa, Norbertine, Father Augustine Puckner. Welcome to the show, Father.
Thank you, Steve. Great to be with you.
I was so blessed that Father assisted us at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Parish in Irvine, California, for 8 years. And every single time that he celebrated a Mass and I assisted him as a deacon, I just felt the love of Jesus and the love of the Holy Spirit. And I have to share something with you. This is to all of our radio audience. When you have someone in your life that makes you feel better about yourself and builds up your confidence and you can just feel the love of Jesus in that person, that's someone that you want to be around. And that's what Father Augustine was. And so many times he would say after I'd give a homily, he'd make a comment about it, you know, and he would encourage it. And it, for me, it just built confidence and being an encourager. You know, by the way, our dog, believe it or not, is named Barnabas. And as you know, in scripture, Barnabas was the encourager.
Son of encouragement.
Son of encouragement. Mm-hmm. Why is it so important that we be encouragers, Father?
Well, that's the mission of Christ. That's the power of the Spirit, right? Because there are so many things in life that can drag us down, that can distract us from the good things, that can lead us to doubt God's love and God's blessings. That's why the work of the Spirit, the work of the church is constant encouragement so that people realize that, you know, the hope that Jesus brought to this world is everlasting. And that needs to be the foundation for how we need to be positive in our lives, how we need to constantly continue to strive for better things for ourselves, for others that we love and serve, for the world that we live in, you know. There are so many other things in life that just say, you know, well, give in to your discouragement. And the way in which Jesus and the message of the gospel completely goes against that. And you could say rises above that, rises above the negativity and the doubts and despair that is, it's part of life and certainly a part of the world we live in.
It's interesting. We had in the studio in a show that had previously aired. Now, the new bishop, which is an incredible guy, Bishop Tim Fryer, and we were talking about reconciliation, the critical nature of it, about how the devil, you know, spiritual warfare constantly is leading us into sin. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. And then once you sin, it's just the condemnation, you know, how horrible we are. Mm-hmm. And so many people are struggling in which they look at themselves and say, I am not a good person. You know, I go and I give talks all over the place and I talk about holiness. And I ask them, I said, how many of you in this audience feel that you're holy? And I very rarely get anybody to raise their hands. And then I'll ask them, do you feel anybody in the audience is holy? And there are priests and deacons and sisters there. And often people, no one raises their hand,
right.
You know, because they think that means perfect.
Right.
You know, never having sinned.
Right.
The reality is that Jesus died on the cross for us. And when we say yes to him, it is his grace, his forgiveness that washes us clean. Mm-hmm. And the title of this show is Living an Integrated Catholic Life, Living a Life of Abundance, as it says in John 10:10, that he has come to give us life and life abundantly. It starts with understanding how much God loves us.
Amen. In so many ways, the positive message of the gospel, forgiveness of sins, redemption, salvation. It's a renewal. It's an uplifting. It's bringing us from that state of, you know, despair or desolation into that relationship with God, which completely renews that hope and renews that enthusiasm. As priests, part of our ministry, certainly in many ways, is just to meet people in this situation. They don't feel loved, they don't feel appreciated, and not just by God, but even on a human level. And that's where to offer them this beautiful message that you are loved, you are indeed appreciated, you have been created by a loving Father who simply wants you to enjoy the blessings of this life and be faithful to Him so that we can experience the fullness of joy, a joy and a satisfaction beyond anything that we can even imagine in this life. But in this life, it starts with that. It starts with that beautiful awareness of being loved by God, of being appreciated by others, that everyone, every person, no matter what their, you know, physical condition, mental condition, whatever it may be, they are a gift from God. And the church treats them that way, and I think in a very unique and positive way. And that brings these people to an awareness of the fact that, you know, the love of God is real. It's not just a beautiful message. It's not just something that we talk about. It's something that needs to be experienced. And the more the ministry of the church can bring people into that awareness, they are loved by God. And the service of the church, everything that we do, is basically to make people more and more aware of that and to have that love have a more deep effect in their life. That's a really, really powerful thing.
I often have, over the years, and we had mentioned off the air of our recent trip to the Philippines where we prayed individually over nearly 1,000 inmates. It was just amazing. In detention ministry, so many people feel so condemned. And my brothers and sisters, take a look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. It's the woman who committed adultery who felt that condemnation with people ready to stone her to death. And Jesus asked her, is there anyone here accusing you, condemning you? And she said, no, they're gone. And Jesus said, I also do not condemn you, accuse you, you know, but go and sin no more. And so the point is that there is no condemnation when you accept Jesus and have that love within your heart. And so many people feel condemned. Mm-hmm. So many people, you know, they hold on to that sin. They hold on to that brokenness. Jesus wants to free us of that bondage.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, and in the sacramental ministry and confession, this is certainly where, you know, the rubber meets the road, right, in regard to forgiveness and God's mercy. And occasionally, certainly in confession, there are those times where the priest has to reinforce and continually remind the penitent of this beautiful fact that, you know, forgiveness is about that expression of God's merciful love, that they need to forgive themselves as well as to experience the forgiveness that comes from God and through the sacraments. But when one has been, you know, deeply injured, severely wounded, emotionally, psychologically especially, it takes a while for that healing to really take place. But Jesus came to heal. We had it in the gospel this morning, right? The double miracle, right? The healing and then, of course, the raising of the girl back to life. Fantastic. The power of God can heal, can transform, can, you know, make any situation, no matter how wrong, no matter how dysfunctional, no matter how discouraging it seems to be, that God's love and God's mercy can make every situation into something that is positive because of that healing, because of the fact that God's grace brings us out of those dark places into the place of light and love and mercy. But for all the ways in which, you know, the negativity in the world that surrounds us, that presents an obstacle for people to really, you know, become fully aware of the positive message of the gospel and God's grace, that's a great challenge. And that's, you know, in our ministry, we completely believe, though, that the power of the gospel and the power of God's grace is stronger, certainly, than any evil, than any, you know, discouragement or difficulty that people can face in their lives. So that message of hope, I think, is so necessary for people who need that healing.
My brothers and sisters, we're so blessed to have Father Augustine Puckner with us here, who is the pastor of St. John the Baptist in Costa Mesa, California. And we're talking about living an integrated Catholic life. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. And it starts with understanding how much we're loved. Yes. It starts with saying, yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. may my heart be open to your love and that forgiveness. And we're talking about the power of reconciliation. I can't emphasize enough, my brothers and sisters, the importance of that sacrament.
Absolutely. And, you know, as a seminarian, we're educated and trained, but in particular for sacramental practice, that was one of the most helpful and even just sort of fascinating aspects of my seminary formation. Not only to go through the church's teaching and then the theory of, you know, repentance and helping these people. But in Rome, when I was a student there, we had a wonderful, like it was a practicum, right? We had like practice confessions. And I was, you know, benefiting from the very wise counsel of my Dominican professor there at the Angelicum. And just that was information that I've had to apply so many times in my priestly ministry, insofar as these people need first to understand that they are loved by God. And I thought that that seems too simple. That seems too easy. You know, I mean, perhaps in my life, I had never significantly struggled with that. I did, you know, certainly from time to time. But he said, no, you're going to be ministering to people who really have completely lost that sense. And that's what you need to tell them first and foremost. Before, you know, go and sin no more. You are loved by God. You are loved by God. And to have that experience, not only in sacramental ministry and confession, but in other situations, just counseling people, to see the incredible emotion and the incredible response that that has brought from some people, you know. You want to see a grown man cry? Tell them that they are loved deeply by God.
We're going to be right back. We're here on Empowered by the Spirit. We're going to talk more about God's love and living an integrated Catholic life. Hello, everyone. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit, high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral with one of my favorite all-time people, Father Augustine Puckner, pastor of St. John the Baptist in Costa Mesa, California, Norbertine, someone who is a real role model for me. And it all starts with understanding how much God loves us. And we've been talking about that in the first segment. My brothers and sisters, we talked about Romans 8:1. There's no condemnation, but take a look at the whole chapter. Take a look at the fact that in Romans 8:28, all things work for good for he who loves the Lord and is called according to his purpose. And then later on, starting at verse 35, who can separate us from the love of God? Neither present things, nor future things, nor creatures, nor principalities, nor angels, nor anything can separate us from the love of God. When we say yes, let me open up my heart to receive that love. Meditate, adoration. Now, I have to say, I could go all day long in giving commercials for both the Norbertines, St. John the Baptist. This is one of the few churches, I believe, that has 24-hour adoration.
Yes.
Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And why is adoration so important?
Because it's our opportunity to be with the one who loves us. And we want to be in his presence and experience the warmth of that love, the inspiration of that love. You know, the Lord said, I will be with you always until the end of the world. And in this particular way, this unique way, his Eucharistic presence is the invitation for all of us to come and spend that time. In so many ways, the Adoration Chapel has been a source of blessing for certainly the parish community, and for the individuals that come. And I've heard numerous stories about people who just, they've experienced such a transformation of their lives. There's such a peace being in the Lord's presence. It inspires a prayer with such great confidence because there is the immediacy and the intimacy of Christ's Eucharistic presence. People are there because they know that the Lord loves them. The Lord is there to listen to them. The Lord is there to speak to them. There's so many ways. And for a Norbertine, for us, Eucharistic adoration is one of the central, you know, aspects of our spirituality. St. Norbert himself had a great devotion to the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. And that is one of the marks, we could say, of our order, something special in our charism and in the ministry that we do. So to offer people this beautiful reality, Jesus is with us in a way that only faith can acknowledge. But thanks be to God that we have that faith. And when people come into that little chapel, our Eucharistic Adoration Chapel, they see others as well who are there, kneeling or sitting or just being in the Lord's presence. And that shared experience of the Lord being with us, the Lord being there to help us, That gives people great confidence. They, no one leaves Eucharistic adoration without experiencing something special, a special blessing.
My brothers and sisters, it is transforming because God is pouring out his love upon us to be there in adoration before the real presence of Jesus Christ there in the Eucharist, in the Blessed Sacrament. It's so important. And I will say to you right now, in the name of Jesus, because I feel very prompted to say this, there are some priests, some pastors, some deacons, those on parish staffs here as we are on 50 radio stations that are listening in right now and are saying, well, you know, it's logistically impossible or difficult, or whatever. You know, we hear that. But when you say yes to Jesus, it's very possible. I will give you an example. St. Michael's Church in Livermore, California. I'll give a shout out to them. We gave a number of workshops there and they told me, as one particular night that I was there, the church was entirely filled, huge church filled. And I said, I am so impressed. And they said, everything changed when we went to 24-hour adoration.
Oh, yeah.
Everything changed. Mm-hmm. The entire parish changed. Do you want your parish on fire, my brothers and sisters?
Amen.
Do you want it on fire with the love of Jesus with the new Pentecost? 24-hour adoration. And it is possible to do it. I know sure. There are some logistical issues, but it is possible to do it.
It's a challenge, but it's, again, worth the effort. And the blessings will be far, far, far beyond whatever, you know, the sacrifices that are needed to make a program like that a reality. In fact, I certainly attribute my own priestly vocation to the Adoration Chapel, which was established at my home parish. Shout out.
Shout out.
St. Mary's Visitation in Elm Grove, Wisconsin.
Woo-hoo!
Suburb of Milwaukee. St. Mary's Parish. And when they started their Perpetual Adoration Chapel, at that point I was, I think just graduating high school or just entered college. And my parents, indeed, had regular hours. And they were part of the first, you know, generation of adorers for the Adoration Chapel. And I, you know, there were so many people praying in that chapel. And one of their intentions, of course, was for an increase of vocations to the priesthood and religious life. And that parish community, like after they had just started the Perpetual Adoration Chapel, the next like 4 years, there were like 7 vocations.
Wow.
From the parish.
Wow.
Priests and a few religious sisters as well. So, I mean, and the parish has continued to produce vocations. So the fruits are just undeniable. When you just say, you make that, again, commitment to spend that time with the Lord, you and those you love and those you serve, you will be blessed beyond. The transformation will be spectacular, spectacular.
When you trust in Jesus, and again, you look at the Divine Mercy Chaplet, Jesus, I trust in you. Mm. Jesus, I trust in you. When you trust in Jesus, when you have faith as big as a mustard seed, those miracles will happen. Remember Hebrews 11:6. It's impossible to please God without faith. He rewards those who believe he exists. And so when we have faith to say, yes, this can happen in my parish, great things happen. Now, we're talking about living an integrated Catholic life. We've been talking about the foundation of everything is understanding how much you're loved by Christ and being open to that and saying yes to that love. We've talked about reconciliation, which is also extremely important because we have to understand that we have a God of mercy, a God of forgiveness. As you said, forgive yourself, forgive others, forgive God, so forth, and be in that state of forgiveness. Another really critical point is really understanding the real presence we've been talking about with adoration, but the importance of the Eucharist and daily Mass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a Norbertine, I won't say who it is,
okay. But
it's Father Leo Celano. Father Leo, that would say to me for years as my spiritual director, he would say for years, Steve, you know, you got to go to daily Mass. Oh, well, you know, yeah, okay. And then, you know, it took a while. And then it was like, what was I missing? I mean, it is like, we have to eat every day. We have to you drink every day. Well, we need that daily bread.
Yes.
We need to be fueled. And I know you fight it, my brothers and sisters, but in most areas, there are Masses pretty much morning, noon, and night.
Right.
And if you want it, you can find it. Why is daily Mass, receiving the Eucharist daily if possible, but certainly preferable daily? Why is that so important?
it just, it makes the faith a daily part of your life in the way that you no longer have to, in a certain sense, think about, well, you know, what is God going to do for me today, or what will I do for God? You know, the benefits that we receive from Mass, obviously, are just beyond. So to have the habit of making that a regular, and for many, a daily part of your routine. Again, the blessings, not only do you receive the graces of Mass itself, but you're there with other believers, right? You're there in the support of people who are members of your spiritual family, members of your community, friends, family, etc. And to have that mutual support on a daily basis, to know that there are others who have made the same commitment, they're giving this part of their day to God in this beautiful act of sacred worship, again, that can only help strengthen one's faith, right? You hear the Word of God, the Scriptures,
Amen.
Every day. And that nourishment, again, you know, becomes so deeply in our minds and in our memories and then into our hearts when we are experiencing that revelation of the Scriptures every day. To assist at Mass, to be present for, again, that sacramental, the representation of the sacrifice of Christ himself, receiving the fruits of that sacrifice in Holy Communion, the daily blessings that you receive, the blessing at the end of Mass, go and, you know, in peace, glorify the Lord by your life, all these things. To make that every day, that commitment, again, I've seen it change so many people's lives, and not only just, you know, to give them the strength to endure their hardships or struggles that are all part of our lives, but to make it an act of gratitude, an act of praise, an act of thanksgiving. To make it to daily Mass allows you to see so many good things in the other parts of your life. You're continually praising God for his goodness. You're continually thanking him for the many other blessings that you receive throughout the day. It's absolutely, that is for many the game changer.
It is such a game changer. And, you know, and this may be impacting other people. One of the areas that I really started doing it, you know, God brings you to your knees, right? I mean, mm-hmm. that's what life is. God mm-hmm. brings you to your knees mm-hmm. so that we understand how much we need him. As it says in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. My business was falling apart. And at that point in time, I went to daily Mass and haven't changed since. Mm-hmm. And what happened was so unbelievable in terms of my whole business being turned around, mm-hmm. my being promoted, and just all kinds of miracles happen. God wants to shower you with blessings, my brothers and sisters. I want you to think about this for a second. Can you do it on your own? We know the answer is no. Mm-hmm. There's no way. We need Jesus. Without me, you can do nothing. Jesus is going to protect you through the Eucharist, strengthen you through the Eucharist, allow you to fight that spiritual warfare, the slings and arrows of the enemy, heal you spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically through the power of the Eucharist. There is so many incredible things that happen when you go to Mass. In fact, it's often been said that, I mean, we would build everything around going to Mass and being with Jesus if we even remotely understood a little bit Amen. About how important this is. Mm-hmm. We're going to find out more about what does it mean to live this Catholic life, this integrated Catholic life, when we come right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco with Father Augustine Puckner. We are on Empowered by the Spirit. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit with Father Augustine Puckner, who is the pastor of St. John the Baptist Church in Costa Mesa. I will tell you, if you're visiting from out of town or if you're local, come to St. John the Baptist.
Thank you, Steve.
Lots of Masses.
Absolutely.
Daily Mass. What
Three
time?
Masses a day. 6:30 a.m., 8:30 a.m., 5:30 p.m.
Perfect. And you've got 24-hour adoration. You've mm-hmm. got the three Masses. You've got the weekend Masses.
Confessions every night.
Confessions every night.
Yeah,
no,
Monday
I didn't know
Monday.
That.
Yes.
And
yes.
What time?
7:30 p.m.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
A lot going on.
And
come
say hi to Father Augustine. You will remember it for the rest of your life, I believe. That's how much I think of this very holy man. Okay. We're talking about living an integrated Catholic life. It all starts with understanding how much we're loved by God and opening our heart to receive that love. We've talked about reconciliation. So critical that we have the grace to say yes to that forgiveness, to say yes, to say, Lord, I understand I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I need to be healed. I need to be forgiven. The critical nature of daily Mass and the power of reconciliation, power of the Eucharist, rather, the power of adoration, you know, going to adoration whenever you can. What are some other things that are really important for living this integrated Catholic life?
You know, it's a relationship with this God who loves us. And, you know, when I speak of the integrated Catholic life, it's this understanding that, you know, as Catholics, especially if we grew up Catholic, right, we started by, you know, learning things, memorizing prayers and memorizing our catechism and those sorts of things. And that's sort of like the content of the faith and how important that is that we have a good foundation. But ultimately, for everyone at some point in their, you know, usually like young life or young adult life, the faith becomes more than just, well, these are the things that I learned in catechism. These are the things that I can read in the catechism, etc. You make that transition where it does become, well, now it's about the way in which all of this beautiful information guides my life and brings me into a relationship with Jesus Christ. So it's we move sort of from what we need to know as Catholics to who we need to know and really know, again, in a personal, intimate, and transforming way. Everything that I learned as a child in my catechism and at Catholic school, I went to Catholic elementary school, all of those beautiful things, that laid the foundation for me to want to seek a deeper personal relationship with the one who came into this world to reveal the love of the Father, to reveal all these beautiful things, to found this church, which continues to teach these beautiful things about human origin, human destiny. Why are we here? What is our purpose? How can we best glorify God? And all of these things. That's what the content of the faith is for. It gives us the answers to those questions and guides us. So we need to know those things. We need to know the Ten Commandments and the Seven Sacraments and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, all of that. And that knowledge is the foundation upon which we enter into that relationship. When we make that transition from, well, this is what I know as a Catholic, to this is who I know as a believer. And when you have that understanding of that relationship with Christ as the most central relationship, then you enter into all of the other, you could say, you know, relationships related with that. Obviously, God Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Blessed Mother, she is next in, you know, the hierarchy of our relationships of love and their influence in our lives. The saints, all of these things. This is that very Catholic understanding of everything that we learned as children or as adults. Everything that the faith gives us in terms of content is leading us into this relationship with God, whereby we finally say, Lord, I know all these beautiful things and you have revealed them so that I can enter into this very special and unique relationship. And once you make that sort of transition into a relationship with God, which expresses all of the things that you've come to know and believe, then, again, not only does it make sense, you know, the Catholic teaching, but then it has its fullest effect, we could say, in guiding our lives in a way where we have great peace in our soul. We have great strength. We have the conviction that we need to share this beautiful knowledge of God and God's truth to others. All of those beautiful things. It's such an inspiration for the work of evangelization we talked about off air and all the beautiful ways in which, you know, the world needs the message of Jesus Christ. It needs it now, perhaps, you know, more than ever. Every generation says that, right? So, and we have been entrusted with this great message, what we know and who we know. And to make that known in a compelling way, which presents it as an invitation to come to know Jesus and to come to know all he has done for this world. That's really the exciting thing about what we come to know.
Amen. 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 Every time you see in scripture, amen. Amen. It means this is really important. So if you really just heard what Father Augustine said, it's an amen. Amen. And what we're really talking about is this metanoia, is this transformation. I've often said that the most difficult journey, the greatest journey, is 18 inches from the head mm-hmm. to the heart. We have so much head knowledge about, you know, sacraments or about this, that, whatever, even though catechesis is a major issue in terms of needing to know more about our Catholic faith. But nevertheless, we may have a head knowledge, but do we have Jesus in our heart? Do we have that personal relationship? Mm-hmm. And there needs to be that transformation, my brothers and sisters, in which you say yes. Remember the second chapter of Revelation where Jesus said, I wish you were either hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I spit you out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. He's asking for a decision. It is time for you to make a decision, because when you make that decision, everything else comes alive, Father, right?
Absolutely.
When you say yes to him and mean it in the heart, then all of a sudden you have this desire to go to Mass, to go to reconciliation, to read scripture, to learn more about the sacraments in your faith. But it starts with that personal relationship.
Indeed. And, you know, this is the personal journey that I'm still on. But, of course, the journey that really brought me to my vocation was this awareness that in order for my life really to change, and as a young adult, I needed that change in my life for sure. And all the things that I had learned as, you know, growing up Catholic, and all of the ways in which my family and others were a great inspiration to me, I finally, you know, came to that point where I needed to really think about that, consider that deeply and seriously, and finally allow that to bring about the metanoia, the change, you know, the necessary conversion. And, you know, one of the first things really when I started really taking my faith seriously as a young adult was really going to daily Mass. That was one of the first things. And again, in that experience, you know, all of the doctrines and dogmas and all of that, it came to life because I saw that this was leading me into this new and special kind of relationship with Christ. I received forgiveness for my sins. I received freedom from, you know, the evil around me and all of these various things. Then after that experience, being purified, being cleansed, being strengthened and supported, only at that point was the Holy Spirit really, you know, able to come into my mind and heart in a way that said, this is what you need. This is who you need. You need a relationship with Christ that will mean everything for you. And I see that so many times, you know, in our ministry. And one particular aspect, you know, as pastor, I meet with all of those that are in our RCIA program, which is a wonderful aspect of my ministry and something that has taught me some very valuable lessons about this whole reality of the need for God in people's lives. In fact, just last night, this is why it's so fresh in my mind. Last night I had a meeting with one of our women. She was born Catholic. She received baptism as an infant and then First Holy Communion, like, you know, in second grade. And this is, again, not an uncommon story, right? And then after that, there was sort of no continuing education. There was no sort of continuing formation in her spiritual life. So she never was confirmed. So now she's in RCIA as preparing for confirmation to complete her sacraments of initiation. And she had sort of come to this awareness, right, that, again, through no fault of her own, but there was something missing in her life. And she went all those years, again, sort of, you know, in and out of the church, Mass sometimes, etc. And then she had this incredible, like, experience about the fact that for what she learned as a child, it was still there, right? And it was still there sort of calling her back to church and saying, this is who you are. This is what you need. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ that means something in your life. And again, she'd gone through some very difficult things in her young adult life. And you know, she realized, I need God in my life.
Amen.
And
amen.
Just that, you know, those three words, I need God. That has been the beginning of such incredible conversions and transformations and renewals in people's lives. And now here she is. She's in the program and she's going to be confirmed. She's going to complete her sacraments of initiation. And she gets it. And that's the thing. The RCIA program, other adult formation programs, they have this wonderful opportunity to bring these people to this awareness that even, you know, as you grew up Catholic, you learned all these wonderful things. Well, they're still there. And these things are now what are, you know, bringing you into this more complete and full and adult relationship with Christ and his church. And you see the joy, I mean, tears of joy. Because I always ask in these interviews, I always ask, was there some special event or circumstance in your life that brought you to this stage of your journey? Either, you know, for those who have never been anything in regard to religion and are preparing for, you know, baptism, for the unbaptized, and then for the others. And there's always a beautiful and incredible story of God's grace and God's, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit that these people have realized. Again, it's not just about, you know, what they know, but again, those three simple words, I need God. I need God in my life.
Amen, amen. My brothers and sisters, we are wired, we are created in the image of God to need God, to love Him, to know Him, and to serve Him. Mm-hmm. That hasn't changed.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do anything without God's love, without God's grace. Again, Scripture is very clear, the vine and the branches. Mm-hmm. Jesus is that vine. We are the branches. But when we're attached to the vine, we bear fruit.
Amen.
We bear fruit.
Yes, we do.
You know, it's interesting that Jesus, in His humility, allows us to bear fruit.
Amazing. Amazing.
Amazing. And speaking of amazing, we're having one more amazing segment here with an incredibly holy man, wonderful priest, Father Augustine Puckner. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back here on Empowered by the Spirit, high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral, with Father Augustine Puckner, who is the pastor of St. John the Baptist in Costa Mesa, California. We've been talking about living an integrated Catholic life, the importance of the sacraments, the importance of adoration, the importance of understanding how much we're loved, the importance of saying yes to Jesus from the head to the heart, moving to that heart and saying yes to Jesus. When I was praying for this show, Father, God gave me a very clear impression and really almost a vision, I guess, of many of our listeners, a number of listeners, I don't know what many means, but a number of our listeners, they're really debating vocation, vocation into priesthood, vocation into religious life of some kind, or maybe even a focus on deeper commitment to the Lord. But let's focus on vocation into religious life.
Mm-hmm.
The Norbertines, and I'll do a shout out right now, I mean, they are an incredible order that is booming in terms of vocations.
Doing very well. Very blessed.
And very blessed, and their order is fantastic. But there are many other great orders out there.
Absolutely.
And so the message that you have for those considering into religious life, let's start with, say, men who may be considering the priesthood. What message do you have for them?
Be not afraid. Do not be afraid. I think, you know, we know that God is calling. We know that the call is there. God would not leave His people without the necessary, you know, priests and deacons to minister, and, of course, the religious to live that consecrated life. So we know that, that God is calling men and women. In many ways, I think now it's hard to hear the call because of all of the other noise and distractions in secular life. And that's always been the case, right? So you have to have a serious prayer life. You have to really, you know, shut some of that noise out in order for you to really be attentive to God's voice in your life and that guidance that it provides. But especially, I think, in my work, you know, before I became pastor at St. John the Baptist, I was the novice master at St. Michael's Abbey, and I worked for 12 years with all of our seminarians directly. And I had a great experience with that and learned a lot about where these young men are coming from. And, of course, I went through the same thing myself. And that is, a lot of times it's overcoming that fear of the sacrifices that a life of dedication to the ministry, whether it's, you know, a diocesan priest, or especially for the sacrifices in religious life. There's a fear that, you know, you give up so much and, you know, will you really be happy? Will you really be satisfied? And of course, the answer is clear in Scripture and in the Lord's words. Yeah, absolutely. And Jesus said, you'll get the hundredfold. You'll be blessed even more in this life.
Amen.
You give up certain things, which are good, obviously, but for greater goods that God has promised in those blessings. And to have trust and confidence in that promise, the promise of God, the promise of Jesus, the promise even of the church. And I have been so, so abundantly and richly blessed, you could say, with, you know, with more spiritual children than I could have ever, you know, obviously as a natural father, who knows how many children I would have had if I would have gotten married. But I have so many spiritual children, you know, literally, you know, thousands that call me father. And that's a real relationship. In a spiritual sense. So the blessings, obviously, that one should be considering in discerning a vocation, keep those blessings in mind. Trust in those blessings. Trust in the promises of the tremendous happiness and joy and satisfaction that this life entails. Don't listen to the world or the worldly message that, you know, you'll be so unhappy, you have to give up so much. That's not obviously what needs to be first and foremost in people's minds. If it's a call from God, my goodness, the blessings will be beyond anything that you can really imagine.
No one can outdo God's generosity, my bros and sisters. No one can outdo God's grace, grace upon grace upon grace, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, greater love, greater joy, greater peace. And I know that I know that I know, which is in 1 Corinthians 12 called charismatic faith. Mm-hmm. I know that I know that I know that there are people listening right now that God's talking directly to you. And the answer is yes. When you say yes to Jesus, then you will receive so much grace. You know, one of my good friends is Father Ben Tran. I don't know if you know Father Ben.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
sure.
Of course. And he has something that really means a lot to me. And I tell him this all the time. I just told him the other night. He comes up to me and he says, thank you for your yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I say to him, thank you for your yes, and thank you for your yes,
Thank you
Father.
For yours, Steve. Yeah. No, and this is, again, a common experience, and this is precisely one of those ways in which a priest or religious experiences that special kind of blessing. That people, you know, I don't even know them, really, but they know me, they know us because of our ministry, and that, you know, we are giving a public witness to Christ and His church. For them just to come up and say, you know, thank you for your vocation, you just think, well, that's the voice of God saying thank you. I mean, I kind of interpret it that way.
Amen.
That this is the way in which we are supported in our vocation. That you know, that kind of affirmation, that kind of encouragement, that kind of support is precisely why we do what we do, for God's glory.
We've been talking on this show, again, Empowered by the Spirit, living an integrated Catholic life, living a full Catholic life. And I think it would be safe for us to summarize that living a full Catholic life is saying yes to God's purpose for you.
Yes.
What is the purpose that God has for you, my brothers and sisters, in your life? And if you have that calling, if you have that nudge for religious life, then perhaps that is your purpose, and many times it is your purpose. I, for one, never expected to be a deacon in the Catholic Church. My wife thought I would be, but it didn't even in my mind. And in fact, when I went through the application, didn't do a real great job. I was called in here by one of my favorite, another favorite person, Deacon Frank Chavez, and said, well, you really didn't put a lot of time into this, did you, Steve? You know, and the reality is that I was kind of fighting it, and many of you may be fighting it right now. But the one thing I said was that every single day I feel called more and more and more. And if you just keep saying yes one day at a time and see what God has in store, many times He's going to lead you to that throne of grace.
Amen.
That vocation.
Absolutely. And for those of you out there who are discerning, you don't have to be 100% certain to begin the process. Nobody's 100% certain when they apply for a seminary or a ministry program or for religious life. You don't have to be. That's the normal thing. You have, again, you could say a degree of certainty, which is God's way of prompting you to say, you need to try this. You need to investigate this. You need to pursue this. So that's sort of where it started with me. Was I 100% sure? No, absolutely not. But I was 100% sure that I needed to pursue this, because I felt the calling in my heart, certainly, from God. There were so many indications in my life that were like, you know, God's calling you, God's calling you, God's calling you. And again, you know, growing up, I remember the first time I thought about becoming a priest was in fifth grade when we started altar serving. So, okay, so the call comes and goes. And for all of you listening, that's perfectly normal, right? But, you know, when you reach that point where it's persistent enough, and now you're at that level of maturity to say, I need to pursue this. And that's when you enter into the process of discernment. And, you know, even for those that I worked with at the Abbey, who came and spent some time with us and then discerned that it was not their calling, no one, you know, left angry, left upset, left like they wasted that time. Never, ever, ever is that ever the case. So, again, to make that decision, to put your faith and trust in God and in yourself, and to say, I'm going to do this, definitely. If you're thinking about it, if you're even that close, take that step. God will bless you, even if the answer is no. If you've, you at least you've discerned for your whole life, you'll have the peace of mind saying, well, at least I tried. I gave, you know, God and myself that opportunity. But for those who never give themselves or never give God that opportunity, I mean, down the road, there may be those regrets. You know, you never know.
My brothers and sisters, living and integrated a full Catholic life means being open to the Holy Spirit, open to the yes of Jesus.
Amen.
And when we're open to that, that's when great miracles happen. And I have a wonderful miracle sitting next to me, Father Augustine Puckner. Thank you so much for being on the show. And it is such a blessing, again, to be in your presence. I would ask that you give our listening audience and all of us a blessing, if you could.
I could. And thank you, Deacon Steve. It's been great to be with you again. Always a pleasure to be with you. Heavenly Father, most gracious and good God, we ask for your special blessing. Bestow that blessing upon all of those listening to the show today. Support them in their struggles. Make them mindful of the many blessings in their lives this day. May they continue to be aware of your love in their lives. May that love make a difference in their lives. May they come to know and to believe in you and in your Son and in the power of the Holy Spirit. May that Holy Spirit continue to be the source of power and inspiration to lead all those who will receive this blessing to glorify you throughout their lives, to safely reach our heavenly homeland, and while they are here on this earth, to make a difference, in a positive way, witnessing to all the power of God's grace and all that that means for this world. And may this blessing truly come upon all of those who are here, who are listening, for all of those that we love and serve. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all. We'll be with you next week at the same time. God bless.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about Spirit-Filled Hearts, visit our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We hope you'll tell a friend about our program and ask them to join us next week at this same time. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio.